Well, good morning.
Good morning.
My goodness, it's good to see so many people here. We're going to study a lesson today about God's mercy in history. And if there's one thing that you have to remember, God has been merciful throughout the generations. He started in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, right? Merciful to them, and it just kept on going down through history. So, let's ask God to guide us here before we start. Father, we thank you for this day, dear Lord, and we also thank you for this story that you've provided for us to study. We appreciate Joshua. We know that in his farewell address, dear Lord, his main point was to give glory to you for your mercy, how you'd been to them throughout the generations, dear Lord. And I pray that in my final address, I will be able to do the same thing. We ask you to guide us and lead us, and may we always put your name above everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, the lesson today comes from the book of Joshua. So what's the most famous thing we know about Joshua? He what?
Fought the battle of Jericho.
There you go. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Jericho. Yeah, that was it. He fought the battle of Jericho. That's the most famous thing we need. Well, okay, so why is he in charge now? Because who brought the children out of Egypt?
Moses.
Moses. So why now all of a sudden is Joshua in charge?
Moses wasn't allowed.
Wasn't allowed because? You remember that part?
Yeah, he struck the rock with his...
Yeah. Well, God told him just to speak to the rock and the water would flow out. Well, Moses took his stick and cracked it a couple of times. So that was not what God told him to do. He told him all he had to do was speak. So because of that discretion of Moses, he was not allowed to enter the promised land. But he was allowed to do what? He was allowed to go up on the mountain and look over at it. He just couldn't go. So why was Joshua the one that was picked then? He was one of the spies that was sent into the land to spy it out, to see what they were going to have to deal with when they crossed the river and got in there. And Joshua and Caleb, out of these 40 or 42, I believe it was, that went over, they were the only two that came back and said, we can do this. The rest of them said, oh, these are mighty people. They're big. You know, we can't. No. We better just stay here. We can't never survive this. So that was why Joshua was in charge. And then the first thing they did when they got in there, they had to fight this battle of Jericho. Or that was one of them. But
Joshua showed his faith where when Moses hit that rock
yeah.
in the water.
Yeah. Took the glory away from God. Yeah, yeah. That's right. Okay, so we are in Joshua, and we're in the second chapter. There are three different sessions of the lesson today. The first one is from Ur to Egypt, and then from Egypt to Moab, and then from Moab to the Promised Land. So it's in three different areas, but it's all... Joshua is recounting what God has done for them, how merciful he has been to them through this, even though it took 40 years to get here. And another thing you have to remember, what happened to most of the old people?
They were gone,
weren't they? Yeah, because of disbelief or being a bad actor, they were all killed or whatever in the wilderness during this 40 years. So the group that Joshua is talking to here are probably, they were probably 20 years old when they left Egypt. So they knew a little bit, but you know, do all 20-year-olds pay attention nowadays? No. And I'm sure it wasn't a whole lot different back then. So anyway, Joshua is recounting what they went through, and he's trying to get them up to basically just remember how merciful God has been to them. And like I said, this is his farewell speech because he was getting about ready to die as well. Okay, well then we are in the 24th chapter. So if someone would please read, and this is from Ur to Egypt, and it goes verse 2 through 4. Okay, from Ur to Egypt. Now, the land of Ur was where who came from?
Terah.
Yeah, but who do we think of when we think of Ur? We don't normally think of Terah. We think of Abraham. He was the one that God made the covenant with, but it was actually his father that God said, leave this land and go someplace else. And what is the other side of the flood? I don't know if you guys have this in your book or not, but in the back of the book, there's a map. And if you look, turn it upside down, and if you look, the Euphrates River, it kind of like goes right up through the middle of that yellow place. So when he said he was on the other side of the flood, he was over to the right of the Euphrates River. At a place, there was Ur, and then there was Haran, and all those places are over there. So he said the other side of the flood, well, it was the other side of the Euphrates River. And he said, what did they do on the other side of that river? What did these people, as a people, what did they do? They worshipped idols. So God called people who lived in the land, not in Canaan, and he called them, and they did not even worship him. They worshipped idols. False gods. Okay, the first question, which I think I answered, who did the account in Joshua begin with and why? Well, it began with Terah, and he was Abraham's father. Well, we also know that Terah had three sons, actually. He had Nahor, he had Abraham, and there was another one, Haran. Well, then Haran had died, and his son, Lot, we've all heard about Lot, he was Abraham's nephew that went with them, and so that's how they got these people. All right, then, and then it tells us in verse 2 that also that they worshipped idols over there where they were. All right, now in verse 3, he gives us four verbs, God does, as to what he did.
Took,
okay.
Multiplied, and
gave. All of those are merciful actions that God did. Okay, he said, so I took your father Abraham.
Yeah.
He took him from what?
From the other side of the flood.
From the other side of the flood, but he took him out of idolatry.
Yes.
Okay, so he took him out of idolatry. He delivered him from that. And then he did what with Abraham?
He led him.
He did not leave him alone. He led him on this journey that he took because he had a larger purpose for Abraham. When was Abraham always good through this? Did he always trust God on this journey that he took him on? Well, what was one of the first things he did? When they were traveling through the land, he said, I'm going to tell them that Sarah's my sister.
That's right.
I'm going to tell them that my wife is my sister so that they will leave her alone. Well, the Pharaoh actually took her anyway. And so when the Pharaoh confronted him about it, because if the Pharaoh had taken her, being Abraham's wife, that would have been a really, really bad sin. And the Pharaoh said, you lied to me, and I could have really committed some bad atrocity here. So he got onto Abraham, and was Abraham totally lying about her being his sister?
Well, it was half-sister.
Half-sister. She was the daughter of his father, but not his mother. So, in essence, she was his sister. But Pharaoh didn't know that. So then when after he took them, he led them, and then he did what? Multiplied. What was the, when God made this covenant with Abraham, what did he tell him he was going to do? He was going to make his descendants
as the sands on the,
as numerous as the sands on the seashore. Well, what was the problem with this? Sarah.
Was barren.
She didn't have any children. And did she always believe that she was going to have? No. So what did she do that was a little underhanded? She sent her maid in to Abraham to have a child so that that child then would be Abraham's and fulfill the prophecy that God had given him. Well, did that work out? Nah. Then Sarah got jealous of the woman. She got jealous of the son. And then Abraham gets another visit from an angel, and he says, this time next year, Sarah will be nursing a child. What did she do?
She laughed.
Yeah. Because how old was she? Like 90? Like 90 years old. So she laughed. But she got the last laugh because she did have a son, and that son was? Gave him Isaac. That was Abraham's son. And what's the thing that he made Abraham do with Isaac?
Sacrifice. Yeah.
Took him out to do a sacrifice. And Isaac looked around and he says, well, Dad, Father, where are we going to get the sheep? What did Abraham say? The Lord will provide. So he puts Abraham on the altar. He's got all the sticks and everything, and he's ready to take the knife and kill him. And God says, no. I just wanted to know that you had enough faith to do that. So that was a test for Abraham. And he saved Isaac, and then Isaac went on to have, that's in the next verse. He had what? Isaac married Rebecca, and they had two twin boys, Jacob and Esau. Well, what do we know about that story? Esau was the oldest. He was the one that was born first, and then Jacob. So, in the times that they were, the oldest inherited what?
The birthright.
So Esau didn't always treat that right. The first thing he did to give up his birthright was what?
The food.
Yeah.
He
came in from hunting or whatever he was doing, and he was hungry, and he says, okay. Jacob says, okay, I'll give you a bowl of porridge or a bowl of soup, whatever it is, if you give me the birthright. Okay, doesn't mean anything to me. Well, okay. So then the second time that this happened, Isaac has called him in and said, I'm about to die. I want you to go out and kill me some kind of a wild animal and bring it in and fix it for me, and I'll eat that, and then I'll give you my birthright. She's fine. Then I'll give you my birthright, or give you my blessing. So Esau went out. Well, the thing behind this story was Rebecca heard Isaac telling this to Esau. So she goes to Joseph and she said, hey, this is about to come down. I'm going to fix stuff, and I'm going to take wool. I'm going to put it on your arms, so when your father feels you, he'll feel like you're Esau, because Esau was hairy and Joseph was smooth skinned. So they set this all up. And even when Jacob went in, Isaac said, well, your voice doesn't really sound like Esau. Well, he gave him an excuse for that, or why he didn't sound like Esau. But anyway, the gist of the story is he ended up getting Esau's birthright. So that probably put a division in the two right then and there. And he said, so then here in verse 4, he says, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir. So he's told Esau to separate from these people, and he gave him this mountain, and he said, okay, this is going to be your land. This is where you're going to dwell. But what did he do to Jacob?
Sent
him down to Egypt. And this is a whole other story. You get into the Joseph and the coat of many colors, and Joseph went ahead of him. And so there was a famine. And that's why they went down to Egypt as 70 people in this family. And they came back at when they were taken out of Egypt, they were around 5,000, I think, somewhere thereabouts. They really multiplied, and that's why the people in Egypt, or the Pharaoh, was advised, you need to get rid of these people. They just multiply too fast, and they're going to overtake us, and so they got afraid of them. But through all of this, through all of these things, even in these first four verses here, what the people went through, God had a way planned for them to make it out. He was merciful to them, even though they didn't always follow the rules, they didn't always follow his orders, but he had a way. He was going to bring them back. And what is that? I said that Haman Ploggers taught on Revelation up here at the Mission of Faith one year, and his first statement to me that I've never forgot, he said, throughout the whole book of Revelation, you will understand that God is determined to bring glory to his name. Well, I think that could go for the whole Bible, especially in the Old Testament where we're going through this all this history. God is determined to bring glory to his name.
You know, Abraham, we're kind of like him. If he hadn't heeded to the Spirit of God, he would have continued to serve idols.
Mm-hmm.
But because of that, he followed God. Now, it didn't end there, though. There's always consequences to the things that we do. Ishmael represented Abraham's side,
right,
on the wrong side of the river.
Mm-hmm. And we're still fighting that today, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Isaac
Palestinians.
The new covenant.
Uh-huh.
So, and then, as you said, today the wars that are going on are still between the descendants of Ishmael and Isaac.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. Let me see. Did we answer all these questions? I think we did. I think we're caught up. Okay, so now this part of the lesson, this is where we are moving from Egypt, when they're brought out of Egypt, to Moab. And this is kind of long, but somebody read that, please, 5 through 10.
I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I have been among them. And afterwards, I brought your father out of
him.
Yeah.
Next screen.
There it is. Egypt. And ye came unto the seas, and the Egyptians after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. Right unto the Lord, I put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and come in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season.
Amorites.
Amorites, okay, which dwell on the other side of the Jordan, and they found with you, and I gave them unto your hands, that ye might possess their land. Bacchus? Okay, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Mm-hmm. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand.
Okay, so now we're caught up to where the people are oppressed in Egypt, and they've called out to God, you've got to deliver us from this. So he called Moses. He says, I sent Moses. How did he appear to Moses? Burning bush. Moses was tending the father-in-law, or the sheep of his father-in-law, and the burning bush. God spoke to him through that and says, I want you to do this. Well, what did Moses say?
He said he couldn't do that.
Yeah, I ain't qualified to do this. I'm slow of speech. God said, well, I have no problem. I'll just send Aaron with you. Okay. God had an answer for everything, no matter what Moses tried to get out of. But the whole gist of the story is, he says, I, the Lord, brought you out. So then the next one, he says, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And I told you why he said your fathers, because what? That generation had already passed, and we're two of the younger ones now. And you came unto the sea, the Egyptians pursued you, and with chariots and horsemen, and then what happened?
And then he brought the
water over them, yeah, yeah. So question six says, what would some of Joshua's hearers have witnessed? Some of these 20-year-olds, they would have seen this. So they would have witnessed what happened here. He brought this cloud to cover them so that the Egyptians that were trailing them, they couldn't see through the cloud. So they didn't know where the people were. So he brought that cloud. He hid them in the cloud. And then after they parted the sea and they went through, the Egyptians start through after him. He does what? Okay. And the water comes back on and they are all covered up and killed. And it says, your eyes have seen what I did. And this is, he's talking to these 20-year-olds. And you dwelt in the wilderness for a long season. Okay, so why were they there so long? Disobedience, disbelief. What was the first thing they did when Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments? Yeah, they built an idol. They said, oh, you took us out of whatever we were used to. We need something to worship. So they crafted a golden cow, and they worshiped that cow. Well, then that got God upset, Moses upset, broke that first set of commandments, so then they had to do it all over again. So back to the mountain he went. So he says, then I brought you to the land of the Amorites, which was on the other side of Jordan. So this is on the side, they have to cross Jordan to get into the promised land, but before they got to the Jordan, they had to go through the Amorites. What did God do there? Gave them victory. He gave them victory over these Amorites. So then when they got ready, he says, I gave them into your hand so that you might have their land, and I destroyed them. God says, I did all this for you. Well then, so when they were ready to cross the Jordan, then they were coming into the land of Moab. Who's the most famous Moabite that we know?
Ruth.
No, you guys are good here. Ruth, yes, she was the most famous Moabitess. And Ruth and her husband Boaz, their child was Obed. Obed's child was Jesse. Jesse's child was David. See how this all... So he took someone that wasn't even a Jew, brought them in, and they started this whole line of David, which God says, there will always be someone from your line on my throne. All right. So he said, okay, so this Balak, this guy's a character, this king of Moab, he sends his men out to Balaam, which I'm assuming was a priest or a seer or some kind. And he wanted Balaam to curse these people, these Jews that are coming in, and so that they would not take his land from him. So this is the whole story of the donkey. You remember that? Okay. So then Balaam says, yeah, he wouldn't do what this king wanted. He would not curse him, but they went through this whole thing with the donkey, and he beat his donkey and all that stuff, and it was kind of interesting little story too. Okay, so the seventh question asks us, what did Balaam do after blessing Israel? After he blessed Israel, he cursed Balaam, right? He said, called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. He said, then when I did not hearken unto Balaam, he blessed you still, and I delivered you out of his hand. So that battle gets a little more involved, because as he's going through here, God is trying, is using different methods to give them victories. It's not all by sword, you know, and by battle. He uses different methods. And Joshua wanted to remind the people that it was God was the one who made a way out for them. All right, so we're down to the last part of the lesson, and this is from Moab to the Promised Land. If somebody will read 11, 12, and 13.
And ye went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and oliveyards, which ye planted not, do ye eat.
That was wonderful. Thank you. You did real wonderful on those names. Yes, that was good. Thank you so much. So then he says, okay, so we go across the Jordan and you come into Jericho. And the men of Jericho, what? They fought. So then he names seven different groups of people here. What do you think is the reason that he names seven different tribes or seven different clans?
That's the number of completeness.
Seven is the number of complete, yeah. So, but like I said, he's coming up with some different ways here to give them victory. And that's what comes up in verse 12. He sent a what?
Hornet.
He sent a hornet. Now, if you've ever been, you know, the term mad as a hornet, you know where it came from. I have been told, and I don't know if this is true, that a hornet can hit you in your forehead and actually knock you down. They just have that much strength, that much power. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't want to find out. But anyway, that's what I've heard, that a hornet is a mighty, mighty, has a mighty, mighty sting. And he said, I used the hornet then to drive these people out from you. We didn't do it with any sword, or we didn't do it with any bow. And then he goes on to tell them what they reaped from this whole journey that they were on. He says, okay, I gave you a land, you did not earn it. I gave you cities, you did not build them. And I gave you vineyards and olive trees, and you did not plant any of that. I, the Lord, have given this all to you. And anytime God does something for people, why does he do it?
For a purpose.
For what?
For a purpose.
For a purpose. But it's all about your undeserved
mercy
and grace. It's undeserved. We don't. That's what Joshua's telling him here. You didn't deserve any of this, but through the goodness of God, his mercy, his grace, and his love,
he gave it to you.
Yeah, he gave it to you. And I think this lesson stops a little bit too soon, because if you go on to verse 15, and I think this is the most famous verse of Joshua. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods with your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think that's the most famous verse probably that Joshua did.
What did the hornets instill within the people? It's probably the greatest thing that hinders our relationship with God today. Worldly fear.
Fear, fear. Yeah. Worldly fear.
Yes, yeah. Worldly fear.
Okay. Does anyone here suffer from hyperthymesia? It means you remember practically everything. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a blessing?
Right. When I was reading this, I thought, well, a husband will say to his wife, you remember every crooked thing I ever did. You know what I mean? So I don't know if that's a form of hyperthymesia or not, but there are people that have, you know, photogenic memories and photographic memories, I guess it is, and they remember a lot, but God is telling them that no matter what I've done for you, you tend to forget some little things here, there, and yonder. And what happens? We generally get brought back under control by tragedies, a death. You know, there are things that happen to bring us back, and God has a way of dealing with these things. Pardon me?
Sickness,
yes. Okay. Well, I think that's about all I got. Does anybody have any questions, any comments? Talk about anything? Pretty good lesson. You know, the whole reason that we go through the Old Testament, I used to, when a lesson was the Old Testament, I thought, oh boy, this is really tough. But it's just a history lesson. It's really just history. And when you look at it that way, it's a whole lot easier to remember, recall, and reflect where they were then and where we are now.
I think the Lord, I think he's like a teacher.
Sure he is. Sure he is. Teacher, that's one of his names.
Yeah.
One of the names of Christ, teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when you look at verse 13 too, that's a two. So many people get on their
mind. I did this.
Mm-hmm. And I worked for this. Mm-hmm. And I did that. Mm-hmm. And I paid. Mm-hmm. They did not labor, but they got the land.
Sure.
It all comes from God.
Yeah.
All of us gods. We're just passing through.
Yeah. We're an ungrateful bunch.
Yes.
In more ways than one. An ungrateful people. And here's another thing. It says, when we enter our heavenly home, we will inherit righteousness that we didn't earn and mansions that we didn't deserve. That's what we have to look forward to. And you know what? I've told you this before, too. I have this little thing on my mantle. Brenda Corder got it for me. It says, please, Lord, not what I deserve. And I think we have to utter that prayer daily. Please, not what I deserve. Okay. Questions or comments? Anybody?
There are seven characteristics in today's lesson that we should study today, and that's they were all characteristics of God's faithfulness to us. We always talk about our faithfulness to God, mm-hmm. but God has his faithfulness to us. And those things, he said, I took, I led, I gave, I sent, I brought, I delivered, and I blessed.
Mm-hmm. More verbs, huh? More action verbs. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I think next we have what? Golden verse? Golden text? Given you a land for which you did not labor, cities you did not build, but you dwell there, the vineyards and olive yards which you planted and did not plant, but you do eat thereof. So he's provided everything for him, hasn't he? Don't we sometimes want to help him out?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Lord to keep his promises.
Mm-hmm. We can trust him to protect us. Those were more of those verbs that Tim was talking about.
Yeah.
Deal with, keep his promises, protect us, and provide for us. All right. Well, thank you all so much. Good lesson.